The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Howard, Vice President Federal for a company called Nutanix. How are you today, Chris?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm trying to figure out if I should spell this or not. A lot of people know what Nutanix is, some don't. It's Nutanix. And what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the enterprise cloud, modernization, hyper-convergence. We're going to maybe define convergence. Talk about hyper-converged infrastructure. Wow, that's going to impress somebody. And you'll take some of these terms and bring them to light. But before we dive into this and what Nutanix can do, and especially for my listeners are federal IT professionals. They're trying to figure out Nutanix. Okay, what the heck can they do for me? And that's what we're trying to answer here in the next hour. Tell us about your background first, Chris. Where are you from and how'd you wind up working for Nutanix, please?
Sure, and thanks for having me today. So once again, my name's Chris Howard. I've been in the IT landscape for about 20 years, started out in the compute and storage era, then slowly moved over to virtualization, and now I've focused on a lot of enterprise cloud capabilities. A little bit about myself, just personally, I'm an avid sports fan, diehard West Virginia Mountaineer, worked at Nutanix for a little over 4 years, and have a wife and two wonderful kids.
Well, you know, that's great. But, you know, your company, I mean, being a little humble here now, the company was founded in 2009 and now it has like 2,000 employees. By my math, that's like 7 years. So nothing to 2,000 employees in 7 years. I mean, you should be a fan of that, too, I think. Huh?
Yeah, it's been incredible growth. We've, you know, we started out just in the United States. Federal was one of our first customers. Now we're deployed and have customers in over 60 different countries, have offices all over the world, about 2,400 employees. We have, I think, at latest count, around 4,500 worldwide customers.
I think that's the surprise is a strong presence in the overseas markets. I mean, that's a surprise. I mean, for a hockey stick like that to grow, it's usually in one market, but you're diverse, federal, commercial, and international. So it's a balance. So you must have something to offer. The only way they're going to be buying stuff from Nutanix is if they can save money, if they can do it faster, quicker, more secure. There's got to be some value here. And what we're going to try to do is establish what value you have to my listeners and maybe talk about an event in June that they can attend and learn more. So start off the federal government. What did you start off doing?
So yeah, we started in the federal government around 2011, and really the focus at that time was to help customers that are deploying or have deployed legacy three-tiered infrastructure, and that's basically the combination of server, storage, and networking, and having a lot more complexity than what was needed. I guess what started this whole, paradigm was, in the late 2000s, virtualization became a mainstay inside of the federal government, and that's when it really started to deploy. And it realized a lot of savings for the government. When they virtualized, they reduced the amount of data center floor space, the amount of servers, but it created a whole nother issue where there was sprawl with storage and networking. So we came in and showed the customers the value of consolidating that three-tiered approach into a single tier, which is a purpose-built virtualization appliance, or the Nutanix hyper-converged appliance. And so when virtualization, you know, once again became mainstream, it gave us an opportunity to come in and help those customers be more efficient, eliminate complexity, scale better. And now as we progress into 2015, 16, and 17, we're focusing on our enterprise cloud story, which I hope we touch on a little bit as we talk here.
Yeah. I'm an old geezer, and I can remember people bringing in software developers bringing in donuts, and so someone would spin up a server for them so they could test some code. That was the day. Hey, you like donuts? Bring in donuts or hot sauce or something for the guys in the server rooms. But what virtualization did, I always think of virtualization first step of the servers, and then the next step was the VDI. So tell us about what VDI is and what role you folks played in that.
Sure. And that's kind of how we got our start in federal. There was a lot of interest in deploying virtual desktop infrastructure or VDI, but there was a tremendous amount of cost and complexity that customers had to consider. So Nutanix, what we were able to do is show them an easy way to efficiently deploy a VDI scenario, but they didn't have to buy everything up front. They could start small and kind of pay as you go along the deployment cycle. With the advent of hyperconverged as well, it eliminated a lot of the complexity and the deployment problems and the management problems with traditional three-tiered infrastructure. And VDI has progressed over the last 5 years. It's almost become a mainstream utility in the federal government space. And there's a lot of driving factors behind that. You know, some are security related, or a lot are security related. A lot of them are just cost. There's significant ROI in VDI. So that was how we got into federal, and that was about 70-80% of our business back in 2011. And we're still doing a tremendous amount of VDI within the federal government, but our mix of deployments has changed. So now it's 40 or 50% of our business versus what used to be almost all of our business.
Nutanix.com. You can Google that. So if I go to Google right now and type in Nutanix, what's new in the last year? Mm-hmm. Would you pop up and go, "Hi, I'm Chris Howard"? So I'll pop you up. Okay, I'll Google you and tell me what's new in the last year that Nutanix has offered.
Sure, and we've had a lot of innovation and brought a lot of new stuff to the marketplace. You know, originally we started out as a hyperconverged company, and that was to, like I said, eliminate the need for three-tiered infrastructure. And as we progressed over 2013, 2014, we started getting into our second act of what the company wanted to do, and that's more along the enterprise cloud platform. So we've brought a lot of innovation past just traditional hyperconverged, a lot of new capabilities, automation, rich analytics, self-service portal. So it's really building the foundation for what is our next phase, which we're currently in, and that's our enterprise cloud platform phase.
When I go back in the recesses of all my three brain cells and I think of the first time I heard of Nutanix, I associate it with an appliance. Is that an association? Is that valid? Or why am I associating that word with you folks?
I think it's because we consolidate those three different tiers into a purpose-built appliance. So instead of having racks and racks of disparate gear, we consolidate that all into a very condensed, I guess, version is the best way to say it. A two rack U hyperconverged appliance that has compute, storage, network uplinks, purpose built virtualization built into it. So it is definitely appliance, but we do offer our software on many different platforms. And go ahead.
So, but there are listeners who are, let's say, theoretically in the intelligence community, and they theoretically might want something inside the firewall. So this would be a good solution for them. I think that's the focus, I would think, with some of these agencies that have to have an appliance inside the firewall and not have it in the cloud.
Yeah, I mean, we have a whole different philosophy or view on the cloud, right? So the cloud to us is great, and we want to see that, and we consider ourselves an enterprise cloud platform. But not every application is built or should go into the cloud. Our theory behind that is that predictable workloads can be run much more economically and much more cost-effective in your own data center. The unpredictable workloads should be looked at for the cloud. So when you have surges, say some sort of big data analytics priority, or if you're a financial firm at the end of the month when you run payroll, when you have a surge and you need more and more resources, that's a perfect type of application for the cloud. Whereas a lot of the traditional workloads that our customers are running are extremely predictable. So as long as you have an efficient infrastructure that is easy to manage, easy to deploy, easy to scale, easy to secure, it can be much more cost effective to run those applications in your private data center.
So I got up early this morning, and at 5 a.m. I went to your Nutanix LinkedIn page.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of summarizes it. It says, Nutanix makes infrastructure invisible. Mm-hmm. Bang, 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 three words. We can do arrays and SANs and virtual storage. But so that's the goal, is to make infrastructure invisible, so you don't have to buy donuts for your systems guy to spin up a server. Maybe your system will know to spin up the server in the middle of the month or whatever. Hmm?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, so what we mean by invisible is, let's compare it to the public cloud. When you go to whatever cloud provider it is out there, you as the customer, you just want your application to turn on. You don't care what infrastructure they're running it on. You don't care what the brand of the server, the brand of the storage, if they even use that type of storage. You don't care what the virtualization layer is. You just want it to work. It's like a light switch. Turn the light switch on, the lights come on. That's really all you care about. And so that's what we want to bring, is those capabilities and those characteristics to the private data center, so that the government customers aren't spending an enormous amount of time and money managing hardware. We want them to focus on the applications and focus on what the mission is and deliver that to their customer.
We take a break here, come back. We talk about, here's a big fancy word I think we mentioned earlier, hyper-converged infrastructure, and how that can make the infrastructure invisible. Talk about that after the break. And then talk about an event coming up in June, where if you're listening now, or if you're listening when there's 2 feet of snow on the ground, you might want to attend an event in June to learn more about Nutanix and how it can help you run your data centers more efficiently. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Chris Howard, Vice President, Federal, Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio we have Chris Howard, Vice President, Federal, Nutanix, N-U-T-A-N-I-X. If you're into Twitter, it's at Nutanix Federal. Learn about what's going on, and I'm sure that if you go to Twitter, because I was there this morning and I typed in Nutanix Federal and I found out about some event coming up over the summer. We mentioned it earlier. But let's say there's snow on the ground and the Redskins have won the Super Bowl, and you type in Nutanix and you're listening to this interview with Chris Howard and you're trying to figure out what this is all about. I like going to events because you can listen to a speaker and then afterwards grab the speaker and go, well, you know, you said this about X, Y, and Z, but you know, we have A, B, and C, and how would this apply to me? So I love the face-to-face at events. So tell us about this event, .next. Is that what it's called?
Correct. Yep. It's called Nutanix.next. This will actually be our third annual user conference. This one will be hosted at the Gaylord in Washington, D.C., June 28th through 30th. We're expecting hopefully 3,000 to 4,000 attendees. It's a technical user conference, so it's not a whole lot of marketing and fluff. It's a great opportunity to meet people that have either already invested in hyperconverged or Nutanix technology, and also a lot of people that are currently looking at changing the way that they build out data centers by going with a Nutanix hyperconverged solution.
You know, I like about that. You can sit in the back of the room and watch other people ask questions, go, I never thought of that question. Oh, so that's the question. So it's good when you have engineers on stage and they can do the stump the chump routine, or ask me anything is the meme that's going on. Ask me anything. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that in the next 6 months there's going to be a lot of changes here in Washington, D.C. And I'm not going to say anything, but there's going to be a change. And new administration, different priorities. So how do you think this is going to affect our listeners, and how it's going to affect their move to virtualized for enterprise cloud?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we're all looking forward to seeing it. Anytime you have an administrative change, a lot of projects get stalled, or the incoming appointees have different philosophies on how technology should be deployed. I just hope that they continue the trend to bring innovation to the federal government. There's a lot of things that the current administration did, like DIUX, and there's some other federal civilian type of programs where they're actually going out and looking for newer, innovative, disruptive technologies that wouldn't necessarily take the leap of faith to get into federal, even though they have tremendous benefits to offer the federal government. So I hope that things like FITARA and the federal data center consolidation, Cloud First, and all of these initiatives that the current administration started, I hope they're just continued and evolved and made better where they can be made better. But I think that at the end of the day, the government needs to evaluate the way they're building data centers and deploying technology, because 75-80% of their budgets are spent on maintaining legacy gear. So you have to bring innovation. You have to be disruptive. We're still not driving cars, or most people aren't driving cars from the 70s and 80s on a daily basis, because they're unpredictable. They guzzle gas. They, you know, break down on the side of the road. So why in our personal life or why in our, work life would we continue to deploy and maintain legacy systems? So I hope the new administration has that top of mind, and I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
Break down on the side of the road. Boy, that hit me. I had a friend who once had an MGB GT, a little sports car, very fast. That's before he bought a bug-eyed Sprite. This would break down all the time. But I don't want to talk about MGP. I want to talk about MGT, which is, I think it's called the Modernizing Government Technology Act.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
And it just got passed in the last 30 days. And so how is this going to impact my listeners, and what's this got to do with Nutanix? I mean, can Nutanix take, can my listeners take advantage of moving to the cloud through this thing called the Modernizing Government Technology Act?
I mean, I think that's the premise behind it, and that's the goal of it. I haven't really seen too many of my customers at least take advantage of it. I've been in a lot of different meetings and luncheons where it's been discussed with government CIOs, and there's a lot of people that are behind it. I think at the end of the day, the goal of that, and I hope this is the goal, is to bring innovation into the data center. Constantly deploying and maintaining legacy gear is not going to get us out of the problem that we're in today, and that's where we don't have enough money to continue to support these legacy systems. So I think that's the goal of it. I think over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months, not only with that one, but there's some additional things that are trying to be put into legislation. You know, I see that as a positive, and I see it as a way for the government to have access to funds that they necessarily wouldn't have access to in the past to do the innovation and disruption in their data center.
I have a student who's about 35 years old. I've known him for many years. He's got three kids. He's a very responsible young man, Notre Dame graduate, Georgetown. He manages a data center for the federal government. And he does not like change. No change. He probably eats the same breakfast every day and the same lunch. And he hates because, hey, we've got it working, John. We've got it working. Don't mess me up. I want all my nines. He hates change. I mean, the status quo is going to be tough for him to change. This is your challenge, I think. Yeah. I think maybe this tool, the Modernizing Act, might help it. But the approach to even a young man like that, he goes, no, hey, I don't want to get fired. I got a wife and three kids. I don't want to get fired. Sure. We don't want to change with this Nutanix stuff. It can screw up and cost me my job. And these people are resistant to change, aren't they?
And, you know, it's interesting because when we look at that, and I always correlate it to somebody's personal life, you know, do they still have a calculator, a camera, a video recorder, or do they have an iPhone or an Android phone? So if they're going to, you know, bring this innovation into their personal lives and they're willing to accept the consequences or risks or benefits with that, that's the way that we have to look at new data centers, is we have to be able to get past this legacy thinking. You remember the old days where, you know, people would throw out a company, well, you never get fired for buying
whatever.
Those days are over. We have to figure out more efficient ways to build out our infrastructure, make it easier to maintain, easier to deploy, more secure. And those are just not things that are easy to do with legacy, because at that point, everything's a bolt-on. There's tons of innovative companies, whether it's Silicon Valley or the Northeast, that just, there's a barrier to entry for them into the government. And things that we've discussed already are going to help them, but it's up to the users, the people that are running the data centers, to be open to that technology and realize that that's the way the world is moving. We do it in our personal lives. We have to start doing it in our business lives.
One part of the puzzle here is going to be procurement. You're going to have to do some procurement changes to have a different way, a flexible way to approach this problem of enterprise cloud. That's going to have to be a challenge too, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. There's all kinds of things that I could talk about that I think personally, and these are just my own opinions, but I think as the industry looks at acquisition reform, part of the problem is that a lot of the acquisitions that are being done are still being solicited with legacy terminology. I was reading one the other day where it still mandates RAID 5. Well, RAID was invented in 1988, so that's how old that technology is. There's 1,000 different ways to do and accomplish the same thing.
Redundant array of inexpensive drives. I remember it. Remember studying that?
1988, but we're still mandating it in our federal acquisitions.
They used to take tests, and they have to know the difference between RAID 4 and RAID 5.
Yeah.
And you get tested on that, too.
Sure,
you
absolutely.
You have to take the test, and then you get promoted, and RAID 4, boy, that's a bad memory, you know? Yeah. And the joke's killing bugs with RAID and all that stuff. That's great. The status quo is going to be tough to change, and I think we have some new tools. I think the federal government's providing some tools. They have to change in procurement as well. I think that's the key with enterprise cloud move is just that you have to take the traditional way, which is maybe with SANs and with attached storage to change. So what would be a good target? If you're listening to this interview and you're looking at your system trying to figure out where Nutanix fit in, what would be a good target? What would be a good typical account that would benefit from Nutanix? Or a system. I don't have to name any agencies. It's a system.
Sure. And, you know, we have a large amount of federal customers out there that are using our technology for pretty much any type of virtualized workload. So if they're virtualizing anything, whether it's virtual desktop infrastructure, whether it's tools like Splunk or Hadoop or just traditional file and print VMs. Nutanix is a perfect platform. It's easy to deploy. It takes, you know, less than an hour to get up and running. It's easy to scale. It's easy to manage. So, I mean, it's the complexity that we eliminate is a value for any virtualized workload that they're looking to deploy, whether they want to start small or replace a whole data center. That's another advantage of using the Nutanix hyperconverged platform, is that it gives you ability to not go out and buy everything up front and hope and pray that over the next 3 years you actually grow into it and see positive ROI. So we haven't talked about ROI, but that's another really big benefit that we provide, and it's simply because of the way we scale.
I was going to use the word candidate. What's a good candidate for Nutanix? But for some reason, my brain candidate doesn't compute. I don't want to use that in the last 6 months.
It's a bad time of year.
Right? Don't use that word. So I guess if you're listening to this, what would be a good candidate for a Nutanix application? A good candidate might be, if you look at your system and you're using Splunk, Hadoop, and these big data management systems, it may be time to call up Nutanix or go to the event and learn more and see if it's a good fit. I mean, that's what I'm looking for, a good candidate for that. Just interesting how that word, now all of a sudden I can't even say that word because, it's so painful. It's too painful to use. Let's take a break and come back. We'll talk more about Nutanix and how it can help my federal listeners maybe reduce the number of data centers and enable their move to the enterprise cloud. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Howard, Vice President Federal, Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Howard, Vice President Federal of a company called Nutanix. I have to spell this out, N-U-T-A-N-I-X, Nutanix, Nutanix.com. See all kinds of information there. Everyone's going to go to YouTube and type it in, go to Twitter and type it in. What do they type in to get you on Twitter?
So Nutanix Federal, specific to us, or you can just do Nutanix if you want the overall broader corporate view. And on YouTube, we do have our own YouTube channel, which you can find by just searching Nutanix as well.
I'm sure they're going to do that sooner or later. You know, whenever I'm on Twitter or on YouTube, I mean, the biggest topic is cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. If I get a pair of shoes, I'm probably going to talk about cybersecurity. I mean, if I go to get my car washed, it's going to be cyber. So it's everywhere. So I got to ask you, Nutanix, cybersecurity, moving to the cloud, good or bad? I mean, what kind of success can we have? Is it going to improve cybersecurity or make it more dangerous? Or what kind of results do you have?
Yeah, so Nutanix itself, we kind of pride ourselves on our security story. A lot of the legacy vendors out there that have been deploying stuff into data centers for 20, 30 years, security to them is an afterthought or a bolt-on. It usually takes other products. With Nutanix, it's part of our DNA. So from the beginning of time when we developed this software and our product, security was always top of mind. And since Federal was one of our earliest customers, we had to take security certifications and accreditation pretty seriously. So we've been involved with DISA and applying DISA STIGs, Common Criteria, FIPS 142 validation, NIST, NSA Suite B. So almost everything you can think of from a certification and accreditation perspective, Nutanix has invested in that since day one. And it's not an afterthought. It's not a bolt-on. It's part of our software development lifecycle. So when the product shows up to a customer site, it already has all of that security posture installed already. So right out of the box, when they turn it on and it boots in, there's multiple DISA STIGs applied and all of the certifications and accreditations we just talked to. So I think security is one of the most important considerations when you should look at new technologies. Just bringing in an innovative product is good in some sense, but if it's easy to break into or it's not secure, you're going to open up a Pandora's box of additional problems. So, I agree 100%. Security should be top of mind, and it is one of the most important considerations when building out either an on-premise data center or to the public cloud.
Now, if you pick up the newspaper, read about England and English politics, British politics. You always read, well, Gunther had a lack of confidence and he's no longer prime minister. And they use this phrase, lack of confidence in the politics, don't they? I think the term lack of confidence is going to be applied to my listeners. I mean, when they think about the call, they go, well, John, I lack confidence for this move. I mean, I think that applies here. I mean, okay, Nutanix, okay, you're fast. But you know what? This enterprise cloud thing, I'm kind of worried. I keep thinking, are there any surveys you guys have had or looking at people and good, bad, sad? How does confidence thing fit in?
Sure. Actually, we recently did a survey effort with an organization called Market Connections, and they went out and they went out to, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different customers within the federal landscape, and they asked them a lot of different questions, and there was a common theme across the whole the results of this Market Connection survey, and that was that folks that have already invested in hyperconverged or Nutanix specifically, they rated higher or came back with more positive answers around scalability, security, lack of complexity, ability to move workloads into the public cloud. So what it showed us as we took a step back and reviewed this data, when we analyzed it, was that folks that have invested in the hyperconverged with Nutanix do feel more comfortable with their data center and the approach that their data center is taking around scalability or bringing innovation into the technology or deploying new workloads. So for us, I mean, that's validation that customers that have embraced the technology are seeing positive benefits and they are growing their implementations of those, whether it's in their own data center or for disaster recovery, COOP, or even to facilitate them and help them move workloads into the public cloud.
About 3 minutes ago, you were tossing around some terms that people in Kansas or Ohio may not understand, DISA and STIG and everything mm-hmm. else. So what do you read? I mean, how do you keep up with all this? This is not, you know, this is not an easy field to keep up with. Virtualization, you can get lost. I mean, so from the perspective, listeners are going, well, how's that guy read? What does he read to keep up with the world of virtualization? So what do you go to first?
Probably the first go-to for me is Twitter. You know, I follow a lot of people that are involved in the IT industry and a lot of the companies that I'm either complementary to or competitive with, just because I want to be up on technology. So I get a wealth of information from Twitter. I also read a lot of industry blogs and analyst blogs. You know, I love what I do on a daily basis, so I want to make sure that I understand the technology, know what's new in the industry, know what's old, know what's changing, know what the government is asking from a vendor or an OEM to bring benefits to their data center. So I always start with Twitter and industry blogs. You know, I follow a couple hundred people on Twitter, but most of them are related to the IT industry, and then I have a few sports ones that I check out.
Don't admit that.
No.
Over the weekend, I was in the car, and I was driving around lovely downtown Leesburg, and I heard this ad for Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's. Oh, yeah. Hey, with Jimmy John's, you remember? We would so fast, real fast. And when I was reading your LinkedIn profile this morning, it said, oh, yeah, 30-minute deployment. I figured, what is this, Jimmy John's? So is it a 30-minute deployment? I mean, is that really true? It just seems incredible.
No, it's actually true. And there's, you know, if you go to the YouTube channel, you can actually watch people deploy. Because we're consolidating three or four different tiers of infrastructure into one, and it's purpose built for virtualization, literally taking it from the box, putting it in the rack, booting into it, provisioning the storage, and get to the point where you can move virtual machines onto it, it's 30 minutes or less. And it's an extremely valuable thing for our data center customers. More times than not, when the customer is looking to deploy a new workload, you know, outside of the procurement of the hardware, even when they have the hardware and software on site, multiple vendors have to come in and usually do that implementation. So there's got to be some sort of cross-pollination between them. You're literally talking 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 weeks to get that deployment up and running. We can literally deploy an entire data center in a day. Depending on what and that's the infrastructure. I'm not talking about all the applications and moving the VMs, but just the infrastructure alone. But that's the benefit of what this platform should bring and what it does deliver. It shouldn't take a month to have 20 different people on site deploying an infrastructure. It should be purpose-built. It should be plug and play almost. And that's what we try to make everything within our environment is we try to make it as plug and play as possible, but as robust and secure as possible as well.
We just got about 2 minutes before we take a break. I was at a conference a couple weeks back on data centers, and one of the speakers there was a guy named Dr. Busby over at Commerce, and I got to chat with him afterwards. Another benefit of going to a conference. This guy's got a PhD in engineering, so I'm like, you know, looking up at him going, wow, this guy's got a big brain. And he said that what they're doing over there, they're using artificial intelligence to help manage their data center. I said, wow, really? I mean, it seems incredible. I think this is what a general topic we're moving on to is that what your systems can do is use intelligence where you don't have to beg someone for a server. It'll determine that, oh, yeah, at the end of the month, add two servers because there's a lot more accounting requirements and pull it back. So this is kind of information I think that we're looking forward to with some of your new systems.
No, absolutely. And that's something that we're building out. And we already have that today in the product, but we're really building out the analytics piece of our platform. We want it to be as automated as possible. So if there's a spike in resources required for an application or a virtual machine, it shouldn't take an end user to spin up more resources or provide those resources or have to get into a keyboard and do anything. The machine should be intelligent enough, or our software should be intelligent enough to automatically spin up those workloads and provide the resources. If you go into most federal data centers, they're somewhat siloed from a support. So you have a server team, a network team, storage team, an application team. So if somebody wants to get more storage, it could literally be a 1 month process for them to get storage allocated to them. That should be something that the infrastructure itself can independently do without any end user intervention. And I think as our product progresses over the next year, you're going to see more and more of the analytics and runway features to give you ideas of when you're going to run out of resources. But as much as we can automate and orchestrate internally in software, the more benefits the customer will get out of that.
A runway feature. My. We'll have to take a break and come back and talk about runways and those features for the benefit of our listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at a company called Nutanix. Now, if you're driving around in your car and you listen to this and you can't write it down, it's kind of hard to know how to spell it. Tell us about to spell it and how to get to the website so we can just reinforce this message, please.
Yep, absolutely. So the spelling is Nutanix. And you can find us at Nutanix.com. And there's a wealth of resources out there under the resource tab. Or once again, you can follow us at Nutanix Federal on Twitter. And we also have a YouTube channel, which you can find
all
by typing
stuff,
in
Nutanix. I tell you, I would go to the YouTube and watch that 30-minute install. That's mm-hmm. what I'd want to see. Oh, really? Oh, let's see. And get my timer out and do something
They're
else.
There. Yeah, so you can watch a bunch of them.
That's good to know. Don't make rash statements. A lot of people listen to these interviews and they go, well, Chris knows a lot about virtualization. What kind of phones do you have? And
So
I'm going to have 10 questions. I'm going to ask these questions, and you're going to have to find out if we're a card-carrying nerd, find out if you are, in fact, a nerd. First question, do you have an Instagram account?
I do not.
How many cell phones have you just impulsively purchased in the last year?
Honestly, zero, but I have a couple that will be here before the end of the year, so hopefully my wife and kids aren't listening.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do. It's CHWVU.
Have you ever used Blab?
I don't even know what it is.
No. What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an Apple iOS.
What's the most popular app in that bad boy?
Right now, it's either Twitter or my CBS Fantasy Football League.
Don't say that in front of your boss. We break into your house tonight. How many tablet devices are floating around your house?
Boy, I would say at least six.
Six? Wow. Good question. And most recent post in social networking?
I think it was, it's definitely Twitter. And if I have to recall exactly, I think it was about our recent .next conference in Austria where there was an announcement about new features.
.next conference, one coming up in town here too. You got a long sleeve shirt on, I can't tell. Did you order an Apple Watch? Is it due for Christmas?
I did.
You
well,
did?
Somebody did. It was on my list.
Well, there's a few ones that said that. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
Paper.
Paper. I don't think you're much of a nerd, Chris. Go back and start nerding out on me,
I'll
buddy.
I'll try. I'll do everything
I
can.
Try to get some white socks or, you know, start reading some manuals or something or other. You know, one of my favorite movies is where Tom Cruise shouts out, show me the money. And it's not Reacher. It's an older movie. Show me the money. Show me the money. And that's what people want to know. Okay, Nutanix is a good product. Great. In 7 years, it's grown from nothing to 2,000 people. Great. It's used all over the world. Great. So what? I mean, you know, I'm not going to have a Nutanix just to brag about it and say, hey, I got a brand new 1922. So what's the ROI on this? How can it save my listeners money?
Sure. And there's been quite a few studies that our customers have done. So if the information's required, it's out there and you can find it. But we've had a lot of success when it comes down to ROI. And there's a couple different facets to that. One is the upfront cost to acquire. We're traditionally less expensive than the three-tiered infrastructure that you have to buy multiple pieces and components, the fact that we condense it all into one. So just from a strictly CapEx perspective, we generally come out the winner from a cost perspective. But then you look at the actual deployment costs, And with our product taking less than an hour to deploy versus weeks or even months, you can imagine the cost savings when it comes to that. And then on the back end, once you have it deployed and you're delivering resources to your users, the fact that we make it as simple and automated and orchestrated as possible, it doesn't require as much O&M from a government perspective. So operation and maintenance, whether that's the amount of people to support it, or if that's the power cooling cost because we reduce the footprint, or the data center cost because we're once again a smaller footprint. So overall, we see tremendous ROI. I think one in particular, one of our government agencies here in the National Capital Region replaced 1,200 servers with Nutanix, and it went from basically 60 racks down to 10. And they saw positive ROI, and these are their numbers in the first 11 months only from power and cooling. So just from power and cooling in the data center, they saw positive ROI in the first 11 months. So significant consolidation leads to better ROI, but then when you add in the fact that it's quicker to deploy, easier to manage, CapEx, there's a savings there. There's a pretty significant ROI when you look at our technology.
And if someone, you know, says, show me the money and give me the details, well, they can go to your .NEC show and get all the details they want. I'm sure that people are, they can get in a corner and go, okay, what was the agency? Okay, who can I talk to? Bang, bang, bang. Well, you're not going to do it in the radio, but you can do it face-to-face and get some specifics there. And then finally, they may be open-minded to look at something new. Maybe back to the, you know, three blocks ago is status quo and change. Well, maybe the status quo ain't good enough. You know, maybe the status quo is not going to help your data center get reduced. Or if you're going to run up against a wall with, you know, energy savings. I mean, we're going to have to look at Nutanix because we've done everything we can to cool our data center. And
Correct. This
is the only thing we got left.
Yep.
It's like, oh no, we'll try this last tool. You know, it's maybe that's it.
And that it could come down to that, but you had brought up the conference and I just wanted to reiterate at our .NEXT conference in June at the National Harbor, there will literally be hundreds to thousands of our customers there. And the whole reason they're there is obviously to see what's new with Nutanix, but also to talk with folks that are interested in evaluating the technology. It's always easier to talk to somebody that's used it and has best practices.
Oh, they're sitting next to you and they go, hey, Chris, what's this guy talking about up there? Oh, yeah, we did this and that. Oh, yeah, he's saying right about this and it didn't work for us for that and if the right fit. And that's the, boy, that's the
Listen
magic.
To existing customers. They have real world good. Experience.
My customers are my listeners, and they're always trying to predict what's going to happen in the future. Some politicians couldn't predict what have happened in the last election. It's hard to predict things around here. But I'm going to ask you to predict things. So tell me about virtualization, the federal government. Give me the Howard five-year plan for this data center reduction, virtualization. Where do you see it heading?
So over the next 5 years, I see a lot more movement to the hybrid cloud. And a lot of people will be, okay, what's that? Well, as we talked about earlier, I don't see a 100% move to the public cloud because not all workloads make sense for the public cloud from a cost perspective or just security, who owns the data. So I think we're going to see this evolving world where customers want to run applications today in their own data center. But tomorrow, if the price is right or if there's a surge, they want to be able to move it to the public cloud. But the key there is how are you going to bridge the gap between the two? Today, it's not very easy to move from your private cloud to the public cloud because of just differences in data and how the data is stored. So I think you're going to see a lot of innovation for people like Nutanix and other companies, I'm sure, to be able to give you the ability to run whatever you want on your private cloud. But tomorrow or the day after that, if you want to move it to the public cloud and then move it back, I think that's where the innovation is going to be, is how do we create that bridge from your private data center to the public cloud?
And this is where your analytics play in. I mean, you can
Absolutely.
Run analytics and find out, well, you know what? Maybe we made a mistake. Let's bring it back in. I mean, we talked about analytics. You just touched on analytics earlier, but the analytics and the ROI, this goes hand in hand here.
Absolutely. And we're building all kinds of things into the technology that'll show you, hey, today it's better for me to run it on my private data center, but tomorrow, and that may be simply a cost measurement, right? If everything's equal as far as performance and SLAs and one is cheaper to run it tomorrow versus today, we want to give you that flexibility to be able to move it back and forth because you don't want to have to make a definitive choice and say, I'm going all public or I'm staying all private. And I think over the next 5 years, you're going to see a lot of advantages to being able to move those workloads back and forth.
I think that's a lesson when I spoke to Dr. Busby. This guy's an engineer. and I can show him all the fancy brochures in the world, he's going to measure it, and he's going to get his numbers out, and he's going to make the decision himself, because he's going to take and look at his analytics, mm-hmm. and he's going to say, well, Chris, you know what? I think you're wrong with this, and we moved to the cloud. This is what happened, and this one came back. And maybe that's just going to happen. It's not going to be, it's all this, all that. It's going to be, well, for these five applications, the hybrid's best. Now, these three applications, last year they were better in-house. But this year, it's changed. We're going to have to make the transition. Much more analytical, much more dynamic thinking. It's not a checkbox thinking. It's almost, you know, the doctor's an art, not a science. It's almost the art of moving
Absolutely.
To the cloud. There's the book for you, the art of moving to the cloud.
I agree 100% with what you just said.
Yeah. A lot of transitions, a lot of things taking place. Last minute here, give me some predictions for the next 60 to 90 days. What should we look forward to?
Oh, boy. Related to IT or?
Mm-hmm. Any new product announcements?
So, I mean, Nutanix has new product announcements coming out. The holidays is always a little bit slow from a technology perspective in most cases. But yeah, I think you'll see, especially from Nutanix over the next 60 days, you'll see some very interesting things coming from us. I can't really talk about it now, but
stay tuned.
Visit, look out on Twitter for Nutanix, federal.com.
Yeah, that's
or
great.
Not .com, but Nutanix Federal.
Yeah, I would think that's interesting too. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. Chris Howard, Vice President Federal at Nutanix. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.